So the conversation we were having the other night about what we were talking about, I think you made the statement about something about man, I'm drawing a blank. Do you remember exactly what we were talking about, Darth? Sorry about that.
No, all I remember, and I don't mean any disrespect to you, is that I became frustrated with your evasiveness. Okay, but I'm not trying to bring that up to cause further conflict.
No, that's fine. And I thought I was being overly charitable because I was trying to we actually got off on a side tangent from initially what it was we were initially talking about. I think it was about man, what was it about? It was about the well, I'll just bring it up from initially what the typical issue is. Typically, in these conversations, you will make the claim that in order for somebody to have or to ground intelligibility or the prerequisites for knowledge or things like that is to presuppose the Christian God. And I think the issue I have most is more with the wording and the way that you phrase it. So when you tell somebody, how do you know that something is true? And then you go to, well, how do you account for truth? You're going from an epistemic question to a ontological question. And I think in the past you've stated that they are maybe not the exact words, inextricably tied together. Is that the position you would take?
Yeah, they're reciprocal in nature. That doesn't mean that they're conflated.
Okay, what exactly do you mean by reciprocal in nature?
How we know what we know will be rooted in the what is ultimate in reality. Okay? That's the first thing. When we talk about what is ultimate in reality, will also depend on the means by which we can know things.
Okay. So, would it be fair to say that if I say I know X is true? That's a epistemic statement. It would have to be rooted in the metaphysical ontology of what truth is.
There's going to have to be an ontological grounding, or there's going to have to be
Metaphysical
I'm just trying to,
groundings.
there's going to have to be whatever we invoke, what is, can be, or cannot be, and that includes knowing things, is going to have an ultimate reference point as to why it is. Otherwise, what is invoked will not mean anything.
Okay, when you say will not mean anything, well, I don't want to straw man you. What exactly do you mean by won't mean anything?
Something or anything that is invoked will only be what it is, either because it is self-contained or derivative. It'll either because it's absolute within itself, being non-derivative, or it will be what it is by virtue of being derivative. So in the Christian worldview, which you hold to, or you say you do, the only thing that is absolute within itself and self-contained would be God himself. So consequently, everything that is not God is derivative in nature and cannot be, nor can it be explained contextually without reference to God. Facts are going to require context.
Okay, so if I was to say, if I just come at it from like a purely philosophical standpoint, and I have an entire epistemic framework put together, and then I can come back and then talk about the metaphysical grounding or the ontology of, that epistemic framework. Could I have a fully worked out epistemic framework without necessarily going immediately to metaphysical grounding or an ontology for how those things exist?
No.
Okay. So this, and I think this is kind of the crux of the matter, because I come at it from, because my background is philosophy. So it being trained in philosophy first, epistemology and ontology are two totally separate categories and fields. So I can
When you
spend,
say, may I interject?
yes.
When you say they're totally separate, I'm not quite sure what you mean by that.
Well, they're okay. So they're two totally different areas of study, is what I
Yeah,
mean by it.
I they're different areas of study, yeah.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that they're not reciprocal. That they would depend upon each other.
Okay, but if I'm just saying, coming from just a philosophical background, because I think this is where the conversations that we've had is where we've had the.
Can I give you an illustration? Okay.
Sure, go ahead.
Suppose we had a pair of Siamese twins, okay? And one of them possessed the heart, right? And the other ones possessed, let's say, another organ that if it were to be removed, then they would both die. So although they would be conjoined, they could still be considered distinct. But they would depend on each other for their survival. So if one of the Siamese twins had a heart attack, the other and die, and his heart, ceased to function, they would both die. Or let's say one of the Siamese twins went into kidney or renal failure, right? And there was, no dialysis. Well, then they both die because they each possess something that the other depends upon for their being alive.
Right. I understand. Yeah, I understand that
Let me
the
ask you this
analogy.
question. Let me ask you
Yeah.
this question. In a hypothetical thought experiment, in a world where all events are spontaneous, unrelated, and unconnected, could there be knowledge?
Repeat that again. Let me make sure I
In a
follow.
world where all events are spontaneously occurring and there are no causal relations between events, can there be knowledge?
No.
Okay. So that scenario is an ontology, is it not?
Well, there is an ontological aspect and an epistemic aspect to it.
No. It, okay. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right, which is what I was getting
So,
at is, go ahead.
a viable epistemology will have to have an ontology that can provide for its actuality and vice versa. I could not invoke the existence of God unless God, as my ultimate ontological reference point, created a world that was conducive in order for me to come to know that he exists. Let me put it this way. Could I come to know the existence of God if God did not take the initiative to disclose his existence?
No.
Okay. So I couldn't know the ultimate reference point unless the ultimate reference point, God, provided an atmosphere by which I could know. So my knowledge depends upon ontology.
Okay, I understand your position. So I want you to kind of visualize it from my position. If I'm coming at it from, let's say I'm an unbeliever and I'm in philosophy and I'm learning epistemology. And in learning epistemology, I come to a full working idea of epistemology. And once I get to, truth theories and things like that, then I can go from this working epistemology to, well, how do these things exist? Then we move on to the ontology. So when I say that we can have an epistemic position, what I mean is we can have an epistemology that we work out, and then we can move on to how these things exist, which would be the metaphysics, the metaphysical grounding, and we get into ontology. So if I'm talking to you, and I say, okay, Darth, my epistemology is Bayesian probability. And I think that I have a high confidence that X, Y, or Z is probably true. Well, then you can ask, well, what is truth? How does truth exist? And then we can get into the metaphysical grounding and ultimately the ontology of it. And I think that in these conversations, that's where a lot of the muddied waters come in, is because I do come more of an analytic background, because I came to Christianity through philosophy of religion, epistemology, metaphysics, ontology. And like we had the conversations before, when I say, wait a minute, it sounds like you're conflating the two. Do you see how it could be confusing if I'm coming at it from this analytic position?
Well, that's because you would be coming at the situation that the facts and the knowledge of facts don't require a context.
Well, I wouldn't say context. I would say
Doof.
I do believe that we can have an epistemic position before we actually tackle exactly how truth exists, how truth can be objective, and how these
Okay.
things can be grounded.
Do you believe that the acquisition or appropriation of knowledge of facts requires a philosophy of factness?
A philosophy of what? I'm sorry, I didn't get that last part.
A philosophy of factness.
What exactly do you mean by that? I'm not following.
Well, can you have the appropriation of facts if you don't have some kind of philosophy of what constitutes factness?
Factness. Well, I would say ultimately to have a robust view, then yes, we would need to account for truth.
Even children have to have a crude rudimentary, excuse me, rudimentary philosophy of factness. If the
Can you
child says,
explain?
"Daddy, Daddy, can I have a cookie that's on the table?" Say, Yeah, sure, Johnny, but there's no cookie on the table. Well, of course there is. Look at it, Daddy. The child is now engaging in a philosophy of factness. Okay? You can't have an appropriation of factness without a concept, even if it's at a crude level, at a child level, without a philosophy of what constitutes a fact.
Maybe, okay, so yeah, if
So
it's
then anything can be a fact?
no, fact would be.
If you will agree or not agree that the invocation or apprehension of a fact is going to require some philosophy of factness, without which there's no talking about facts.
But that would be an assumed philosophy, not a conscious philosophy.
The bottom line is that you're going to have some type of philosophy of factness, even if it's at a child level, if you're going to be talking about facts.
But children don't have a philosophy.
Of course they do.
N no, not by the
Yes, they
definition of
do.
philosophy, no.
No, the philosophy is the love of wisdom, okay?
Right.
Children have a crude level of philosophical thinking. Everybody, unless you're brain damaged or a registered Democrat, has certain ideas of philosophy. Everybody, when we talk with people, either you will believe that the world around you is real or not when you talk about the dog wagging its tail.
Okay, so does it ha okay, so does it have to be a conscious awareness of that philosophy?
It can be at an implicit level, but it's nonetheless there. Look,
Okay.
look, 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 look. Let me give you an example. Suppose you and I are playing chess, and I'm tapping my fingers on the table, and it becomes really annoying to you. Okay? And you say, "Would you mind stop doing that? That's annoying." And I say, "Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't conscious that I was doing that." Well, what I really mean is it was at a lower level of focus, and I had other things at a higher level of focus. If I were to take it to the extreme and I was completely unconscious of that, I would say, "What are you talking about? I wasn't tapping my fingers on the table." So there are certain ideas and belief states that we have that are at a much lower consciousness level than other things. And that includes a basic concept of ontology and epistemology. Now, children don't know these terms. They couldn't explicate that. But they nonetheless are operating from about the world around them, that certain things remain the same while other things remain the same. Stay. Look, if a child says something about Fido, right? And I say, "What are you talking about?" And he says, "Fido stole the cupcake off the table, Daddy." I would say, "That's not Fido." She said, "Of course it's Fido. What I'm referring to is the child has a belief in the concept of identity over time, that the dog that they call Fido, a half an hour ago is the same Fido that ate the cupcake off the table." So don't children have a rudimentary understanding of identity over time?
Sure.
Okay, well that in part is a philosophy of factness, that things possess identity and they possess identity over time to even invoke it.
Okay.
So the invocation or the appropriation of a fact or factness is going to require some conceptual level, even at a child's level, of a philosophy of factness, right?
Okay.
But you can't have a philosophy of factness unless you have some kind of concept about the nature of being. Now, you'll
Okay.
either accept that last statement or you'll reject it.
So, okay, fair enough. So,
Which do you do?
well, I would ask on that, when you came to the conclusion that we must presuppose the Christian God in
No, can you
order
answer
to,
that question, please?
what, I'm sorry, what was the
Because
question?
that's a chin. I said, either you're going to acknowledge that a basic philosophy of factness is going to require a concept of the nature of being or not. So which do you do?
Yeah, it would have some kind of maybe innate understanding of being.
So the knowledge of facts requires a philosophy of factness, and a philosophy of factness requires some ontology.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that because you can
So
have a,
a
hold on, hold on,
philosophy
you
of
can have
factness doesn't require a concept of the nature of being at all.
Well, so a child can obviously connect A to B and B to C without ever thinking, contemplating, or assuming that A, B, and C exist for some reason.
Of course they do. They don't think about it in terms of the more intellectual and precise levels of thinking as older children and adults do. They do so at a very low. Do you know what tacit knowledge, have you heard of tacit knowledge?
Yes.
Okay, Michael Polanyi is a philosopher. He wrote several books on this. He said, we know more than we can say.
Right.
Okay. How many times have you and I, because I consider you a smart guy, we butt heads from time to time, which is okay, but I consider you, a fairly, intellectual person. Sometimes we get tongue-tied attempting to express what we're thinking. Okay.
Sure.
And there's even levels of artistic skill that even people who hold great skill in these areas that cannot be expressed in words but are learned through just simply doing. It's called tacit knowledge. So even little children have tacit knowledge of the nature of being. They may not be able to articulate it at an adult level, but they have a rudimentary sense of a nature of being. What if
Sure.
I said to what if I said to a child, Daddy, Daddy, can I have that cookie? What cookie? Well, right there, Daddy. What are you talking about? Well, I see the cookie, Daddy. Okay. And I say, well, I know you see the cookie, but that doesn't mean it's there. The child's going to think I'm going crazy. Because the child has a concept of the nature of being, that what the child sees corresponds to what is. So even a little child has a concept of the nature of being. They have a rudimentary or crude philosophy of factness, which in turn provides them with the ability to talk about the cookie on the table. Okay.
But I would say, to that effect, I would say that the child is acting on empirical knowledge. The child sees that it's there. The child
No,
doesn't.
no.
Okay, why not?
When I say no to that, I'm not saying that the child doesn't employ reasoning from their senses, but there are certain ways of thinking that are innate, that are God-given, that you how little children, I'm trying to think of how to put this. There are certain ways of thinking about our world, even at a very young age, even at a toddler's age, that simply cannot be acquired through sense perception, that it is innate by virtue of being made in the image of God and human.
Okay.
So because here's the deal. Okay. Do you know what verificationism is in empiricism?
Yes.
Okay. Do you consider them self-refuting?
Yes.
Okay. Then so with the idea that we only come to know things rudimentary by sensory experience.
Right. So I would ask, how did you come to the conclusion that they are God-given?
God would have to take the initiative to reveal that he exists.
How'd you come to that conclusion?
How? Because he constructed a world, placed me in it, and even upon having my conscious self-awareness would be indicative of God. Because if it were not, then my self-consciousness couldn't mean anything. There would be no ontological framework in order for my consciousness to mean anything.
Okay. How did you come to that conclusion?
By virtue of God's existence and the way he created this world.
And how did you come to that conclusion?
By virtue of the way God created the world.
That's circular. I mean, how did you...
Yeah, well, is there any other way?
Yeah, there absolutely is. But, I mean,
So we can know something without God being the ultimate reference point?
Well, you're shifting the burden. I'm asking you, how do you know that God is... How do you know that God is the reason that you know these things?
Okay, let me express it to you in philosophical terms, okay? Could I actually be in possession of knowledge of anything were it not the case that something is absolute?
That's not answering my question.
I'm answering you with a question.
No,
I know something.
You're not going to answer with the question. I want to know how you justify that position.
Okay. Knowledge requires that there be a previous acceptance, okay, that something is fundamentally, ontologically absolute. Because how would I know that? Because it would be transcendentally necessary. That in other words, knowing, like, you couldn't know any things, okay? Because if nothing is absolute, right, then the so-called regularity that you and I would accept would simply be illusory. It would not be imposed by something. So either
know that?
How would I know that? How would I know? I don't understand. What do you mean? How do I know that?
The claim you just made, how do you know that?
How do I know it would be illusory?
Mm-hmm.
Because there would be nothing imposing the realness of the regularity. So the regularity will either be real or illusory. Do you agree with that?
No, I want to know how you know that's the two options.
Because it's a true dichotomy.
No, it's not. It's a false dichotomy. How would you know?
What's the third option?
How would you know that those are the two options?
Well, first of all, that's an ontological state. Either it's real or it's not real.
Well, actually, it's real or it's not. Or do I know that it is or it isn't?
No. We're not talking about my knowledge state. We're talking about an ontological state. Either X is real or not. Is that a true dichotomy?
Sure.
Okay. When I say it's either real or illusory, illusory means it's not real.
No, it could be it's real or it's illusory, or it's real and it's false and not illusory. So that's a false dichotomy.
No. You're not getting this. Okay.
No, that's what a false dichotomy is.
Either the car in my driveway. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Either the stipulation, the car in my driveway is actual or not.
No, that's a false dichotomy.
No, it is not. It's either
It
A or
is.
not A.
No, it's either it's there or it isn't, or you could perceive that it's there and it really isn't, or you could perceive
Well,
that it's
no,
not
you're
and it
not. You,
really
okay,
is.
that was you. Now, what you've done is you've changed the subject matter from
No,
the
I haven't.
ontol. Yes, you have. I will tell you why you have.
Okay.
You've changed the subject matter from an ontological state to the appropriation of the ontological state.
Okay, so you're divorcing perception from the actual state.
I'm not divorcing it. They are distinct categories. Do they influence each other? Of course. But we're talking about an ontological state now. Whether or not somebody appropriates it is another subject. So
Okay.
either the car is real in the driveway or it's not.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Okay.
So when I say either the car is real or it's illusory, to say that it is illusory is just another way of saying it's not real.
Sure.
Okay, so then it is a true dichotomy.
Sure. I'll go with that.
Okay, so I'm correct in what I said.
Yeah, on that point, yeah, I'll go with that.
Okay, now, in order to have an appropriation of something, right? It's going to have to be real. Otherwise, I'm believing something that doesn't exist. Therefore,
Okay.
there's no knowledge of it. There's no knowledge of something that doesn't exist.
Okay, along those lines, how would you parse out a schizophrenic in that situation who thinks that it's real, whether it is or isn't, they believe that it is. What, how would that fit in?
I don't see how that's even relevant to our discussion.
Well, because I mean we're talking about having knowledge of something and the ontology of that knowledge. Well, we can't divorce that from the perception of knowledge or what we perceive to be real.
I'm not understanding your point or objection.
Okay, so let's say that it is the case that there is a car in the driveway. Well, we have the ontology of it, which you clearly stated was either it's there or it isn't. And then we have the psychological position of whether we perceive the car there or not, or the epistemic position that we know it's there or it isn't. So if I'm a schizophrenic and the car is not there, but I perceive it there, how does the ontology play in to that perception or the epistemic position?
The ontology there, there's no epistemic appropriation there. The person is crazy. They're having an experience about an ontology that is not there. They're hallucinating.
Okay, if two people are, and I'm just trying to flesh this out, I'm
If
not
I
trying to
have a
get.
hallucination, if I have a hallucination of a DeLorean in my driveway, do I have knowledge of a DeLorean in my driveway?
I would say you probably have justification. I don't know if it's quite
Oh.
knowledge.
So I would have justification on a hallucination.
Yeah.
That would be a false justification.
Well, but justification,
It
so you
would
don't think
that would only
intuition
that would
plays
only
into
be well
justification?
that's confusing. That's confusing an actual justification with a putative justification.
Can you explain the difference?
Yeah, I go into McDonald's and I pay for my cheeseburger with Monopoly money. And they say, well, no, sir, that's $9.75. I said, well, I just gave you a $10 bill. I said, no, you have to use American money. Me thinking that the $10 bill that I have is going to be a medium of exchange is a delusion.
But you don't think that the person having that delusion is justified in believing that?
I would say no. They're
Well,
deceived. They're deceived.
but are right.
It is a putative justification, but not an actual justification.
Okay, so you're gonna, instead of giving me example, can you parse out the difference between the two?
Okay.
Because in
What it
epistemology, I'm
what.
just familiar with justification, not the distinction between the two.
Well, there can be actual justification where it actually follows through, and there's putative justification where it wouldn't necessarily follow through. What I thought was a justification is not. The farmer looks out into the field, and the field dips down, and below the horizon level is a sheep that he knows he has. But some practical joker put a cutout of a sheep in the field above the horizon level. Okay? The farmer looks out, he sees what appears to be the sheep, and he decides that his sheep is in the field. But what he sees is not his sheep. It's true that the sheep is in the field, but it's below the horizon level, which he cannot see. So, does he actually have a justified true belief?
Well, I mean, that's just a Gettier case. That's just showing you how it can be true
I
and not
know.
have justification.
Right. It is a putative justification that doesn't hold up upon examination.
Right, but then you can also transversely have or conversely have justification without it being true.
It's an alleged justification.
But you agree that you can have. So, okay,
It,
so what is
I,
justification to you?
justification means that there's an actual path of justification that terminates in an ultimate truth.
And who
The
determines the ultimate truth?
God Himself.
Not okay. How does God determine it when it's beings that are looking for an epistemic position of justification?
Because whatever is, can be or cannot be, is rooted in the self-contained, entirely self-conscious nature of God.
Okay, and how are you justified in believing that?
How that? Because he revealed it.
How did he reveal it?
He revealed it through creation and through special revelation.
Did you come to that epistemically or presupposing him?
I start with my own self-consciousness, and God in his creation makes me to be immediately aware of his existence because of my own self-consciousness, even before I even think about my sensory experiences. Because either it will be the case that my consciousness is creaturely or not creaturely. If it is creaturely, then my self-consciousness is what it is by the mind, the purpose of the self-contained and purpose and plan of God. The alternative is that my self-consciousness would have no context for what it is. And if it has no context, my self-consciousness wouldn't mean anything.
And how do you
They
separate that from delusion?
I don't understand your question.
How do you know that you're not just delusional, that God revealed this to you?
What I'm saying to you is that you only have two alternatives, okay, when it comes to your immediate self-consciousness or your proximate sense experience, that either they are revelatory from God and of God or not. Would you agree with that dichotomy?
What I would ask, how do you know they're revelatory?
Would you agree with that dichotomy?
Well, I would ask if, how do you know they're revelatory?
Were you repeating yourself? And I repeated my question because you didn't answer it the first time.
Right,
Do you
because you
agree with the
avoided my
dichotomy?
question.
No, I'm not avoiding your question. I answered your question by saying that when I am contemplating my own self-consciousness, okay, either I will reckon it to be as creaturely or not. Now, do you accept that dichotomy?
No.
Okay, well, here's the problem, okay? There's not a third category for your self-consciousness to be in. Because all I've simply done is plugged in values for the law of excluded middle. It's either
Okay.
A or not A.
Right. And how do you know that this God exists?
Well, first of all, how I know it is a separate question. What we're talking about is when I contemplate and reflect on my self-consciousness, I will, at any given moment, I will reckon it in an ontological state. How I have come to know that is another issue. So, one, in terms of their self-consciousness in any given moment, either at a higher or a very low implicit level, will reckon my immediate self-consciousness as creaturely or not creaturely. Do you accept that dichotomy?
No, you just contradicted yourself.
No, I didn't contradict myself.
You did. You said you're going to reflect on it and
Right,
come to the reflection and
no, even no,
revelation.
when I say reflect, I mean I will contextualize myself. You cannot think about your own self-consciousness
Oh, yes, you
without
can. There's
context.
actually a philosophical problem with that.
No.
Yeah, is it the
You're
thinker
not
thinking or the thinker thinking about the thinker
no
thinking?
no no listen to me.
Yes. Okay.
Either my self-consciousness will be reckoned to be creaturely or not. It'll either be, okay, do you agree that for any fact that is invoked, spoken or conceptually, that it, can a fact be invoked without context?
Sure.
No,
Yes.
it can't. Give
Sure.
me one fact that can be a fact that has no context, either explicit or implicit.
This monitor is in front of me.
Okay, yeah, okay. Now I'm understanding what the problem is. You don't understand the nature of this discussion at all.
Oh, I
Because
absolutely do.
no,
You don't
no,
understand
you
what
do
basic
not.
beliefs are.
No,
That
you no,
require,
you no, you, no, you do not.
yes.
No, you do not. Because you see, when you
Okay,
say
go
the
ahead. Go
monitor is
ahead.
in front of me, when you say the monitor is in front of me, okay, that's going to require some type of ontological context,
No, it isn't.
without which, okay, then what is the me?
So when I say the monitor's in front of me,
No,
that is.
listen to my question.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
What is the me? What is the I?
Me, myself, my experience.
What is that? Is that the chronology of mental states?
What do you mean the chronology of mental
When you say
states?
you and I, is that a term that collectivizes mental states? Is that time in? Is that we? Are you referring to certain events across time indexes?
Sure.
Okay. What unifies concretely, not abstractly, what concretely unifies the so-called mental states in order to invoke the I?
Say that again. What concretely or
What you
abstractly? Which
refer
one?
to me, what you refer to singularly as me or I, okay, the I, okay? I ask you, does that refer to the mental states across time indexes? And you said yes, right?
Yes.
Now, what concretely unifies the discrete mental states and time indexes?
Nothing concretely.
Then you can't speak of the I, because then the I would be an abstraction.
No, that's actually not true at all.
Okay.
Because what you
You are
said,
not,
hold on.
My
Hold
friend,
on.
you are truly, no, I'm not going to hold on.
Yeah,
This
you're
is
going
going
to hold
right,
on.
this is
Okay,
going
go ahead.
right over
Go
your
ahead. What do
head.
you think? What do you think?
You
No,
are,
go ahead.
this is
What do you
going
think?
right over your
Sure,
head.
go ahead.
Okay, do you understand the difference between concrete and abstract?
100%, yes.
Okay, now, is there something that concretely unifies the mental states in each time index, or is the grouping of the mental states into the unification and abstract unification?
Yeah, I don't think you understand concrete and abstract.
Can
because,
you please
because,
answer
wait
my
a minute,
question?
Wait a minute. Yeah, because
Listen, if
there's
you're
nothing
going,
concretely
listen,
about a mental state.
You're bickering with me. You're not focusing.
Go ahead.
Okay,
go
listen
ahead. Go
carefully.
Ahead.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If I refer to the marbles, okay,
mm-hmm.
I can refer to 10 marbles by a single term. But either the grouping of the marbles is concrete by something that is concretely real.
That's false.
That unify. Oh, no, it's not false because you
it
see.
It absolutely is false.
I could have a bag, a paper bag. Is a paper bag something that's concrete?
Yes.
And could the marble, could I hold marble, could I unify the marbles by a paper bag?
The concept of marbles is abstract. It's not concrete.
Listen to me. Listen to
no,
me.
No, listen to me.
Does the paper bag concretely unify marble number 1 through 10?
All 10 marbles in there would be 10 marbles. That's concrete, and the bag is concrete. Yes.
Is the bag concretely unifying marbles 1 through 10?
No.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't, because the concept of multiples, the concept of multiples is an abstract.
I didn't say multiples. I said marble.
You said marbles. Marbles is an abstract concept.
That is a truncated, that's an abbreviated form of me saying marble number 1, marble number 2.
It's still abstract. I don't care how you truncate it. It's abstract.
Listen to me. Would you like me to rephrase it? Because now you're being a clown.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. If we have marbles 1 through 10,
mm-hmm.
okay. If I say, does the bag concretely unify marble number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? Does it concretely unify them?
No.
Yes, it does, because the marbles are in the bag, right?
No. So. Now you're going to listen to me. No, when you go from individual marbles, which is a concrete thing, to the abstract of marbles, which is the plural of marbles, that is purely abstract. Go ahead, unmute. You got to unmute, Darth.
You're becoming purposely obtuse now and argumentative.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm showing you the
listen,
difference
okay,
between concrete
now,
and abstract.
Now, okay, no, listen to me. Does the paper bag collectivize marbles 1 through 10?
What is collectivize?
Okay, if you're going to pull this bullshit, I'm going to leave. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to play this little childish
right, because you don't understand the difference between concrete and abstract.
Listen to me. I'm going to tell you one more time.
Go
if
ahead.
You don't
tell
stop
me one more
this
time.
Type, if you don't tell me, if you don't stop this childish adolescent bickering mode, I'm going to leave. Now, I asked you a direct question.
Okay.
If we put 10 individual marbles in the bag 1 through 10, are they collectivized in the bag?
Before I respond with the same answer, what do you mean by collectivized?
Okay, listen to me. You're now purposely.
No, what do you mean by collectivized?
Last chance. Listen to me carefully.
Collectivized. Just define
okay,
that for
listen,
me, please.
Listen to me. If you keep on with this bickering mode, I've already gave you 3 or 4 warning shots that I'm getting frustrated with your bickering.
You're not warning.
Okay,
what do you mean by collectivized? That's what I thought. Coward. That's exactly what I thought. God. Man.